Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. Jesus Christ, pardon of our sins. Amen. Praise God. Know that our sins are forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. Glory. Know that we're covered with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Ooh, what a blessing it is. You know, y'all can pray with me because that praise team is getting, I am stirred up. These young ladies are saved. I'm looking around and Maggie got that microphone and saved. Special that she's the good Whitney Houston replacement. And she was practicing this morning and she hit one of Whitney Houston songs and I'm like, what? Praise the Lord. So Brother Bill, you keep now, you know the drums is there waiting, you know, I'm believing God's gonna send some folks in here. There's not hirelings and we're gonna be making some noise up in this place. You think we're praising God now, wait till we get to heaven. Shut up, praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to say thank the Lord for you. The ministry and music is important.
Amen.
Just like the word of God going forward, because it's to the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Just keep on praising God. Amen. I just want to say that. Praise God. We have a sister that's going to share the word of God on today. And I've had the pleasure of knowing her for about 34 years. If that's any clue to who's going to share the word today, I thank God she's at a point now I don't have to take my belt off anymore. Matter of fact, she thinks she's in charge. She thinks she's the parent, you know. But I thank God for Camille. She's going to share the word of God today. God has blessed her down through the years. When she's a young girl, I can see the hand of God upon her.
Praise God.
Yes. I thank God now she's allowing God to use her. She yield her ways to God. And any of us that yield to the Lord, God will bless us. God will make ways out of no way. Sister Camille, come and share with us what God has laid upon your heart today.
Praise God.
Amen. Listen to the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm gonna try to use this mic instead. So y'all just pray with me, pray for me. God is awesome. He is an amazing God. Didn't get a chance to. I'm again so grateful for the praise and worship team and all the young adults. You're part of Three Peace Christian Ministries. It's great when you can pass the reins. You know, you show them, and then they, I got it. I'm like, all right, good. Amen. Praise God. So if we can just bow our heads real quick for a word of prayer, and I promise I won't be before you long, okay? I promise you that. All right, so Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this most sacred desk, Lord God. I ask you to remove me out of the way, that the people of God might hear and see only you. Let the words of my mouth, God, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight. Oh Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. So the message or the title for today is the power of persistent prayer. Okay. So we're going to look at one verse in regarding to where we're starting out, and that's going to be 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And I use the Amplified version because I would, you know, you kind of go through, you're kind of going through your studying, and I love New Living Translation, But I was looking at, God had gave me this thought, but he gave me characters that we're going to look at today too. But when I looked at Amplified, as you all can read, can we read along together? Here on the board. 1, 2, 3.
Be unceasing and persistent in prayer.
That's what we're going to deal with today. Amen? All
right.
Okay, and so you already see the definition of power. Like, you know, it's great that we break down and get a clear understanding of the title or the topic that we're looking at. And going to dictionary.com or Webster's, there's multiple definitions for power. The one that I like the most, it actually was the second definition, the capacity or the ability to direct or influence the behavior of others on the course of events. Now, I'm looking at a lot of parents in the room. The first thing that you knew when you were going to be a parent, you knew you was going to have some power. This little person is going to mind me as I heard growing up. They're going to listen to what I have to say. I am the bull hog, as my great-grandfather would call himself. I am the boss. And it happens as such is that when the baby comes, the baby kind of has a little bit more power. That hollering comes out, the screaming, and you know, it's one of those things where you can't control. You don't know, like this is different, you know. This little human being who laid in me for 9 months that I carried a term is controlling my life. And what I think is so interesting about that is that we sing the song, Abba, I belong to you.
Yes.
We as his children, we have access to the Father. Yes. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God,
yes.
He made sure of that.
That's right.
That was part of the redemption plan to bring us back into alignment with our Father. Now, we don't have power over God. Let us not get it twisted, as Brother Agosa says. But we want to make sure that we understand that we have the capacity or the ability that we can seek in prayer and the Lord say, okay, I hear what you're saying. And we're praying to him. It's a powerful thing when we use prayer.
Yes.
All right. So then let's look at the definition of persistence. Because someone might say, you know, why do I need to persist? I mean, I pray every morning. That isn't that enough? Or God knows, why do I need to keep talking to him? I've heard people tell people, once you pray about it, leave it alone. Where is that in the word? Because there's so many stories and accounts of individuals in the word that sought the Lord over and over and over and over and over and over until they got an answer.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. So persistence, continuing to exist or occur over a prolonged period of time. Sometimes you have to pray more than once. Sometimes it's more than twice. Sometimes it's more than 10 times. Sometimes it's more than 5 minutes. But we have to pray.
Amen.
Prayer. Now, someone might say, how do I pray? I don't know what prayer looks like. And, you know, I see, you know, pastor, he gets up there and he pray and, you know, when Elder Warren prays, Lord, Elder Warren prays, you know. So, you know, I don't pray like them. You don't have a relationship with God as them because it's a different relationship. The way you talk to your husband is different way that Sandy might talk to her husband. It's different. It's your relationship. So if you want to talk to the Lord God, that's your business.
Yeah,
there's no formula on how you need to speak to God. It is in reverence.
Yes.
It is in respect.
Yes.
It is in humility because you need to understand that he is God of the universe.
Yeah.
And he ain't your buddy on the side of the swing if you're like, hey, mama. No, but you can talk to him.
God.
No matter the time, day, or hour, you can speak to the Father in prayer.
Amen.
All right. So let's look at one of my favorite women in the Bible. Hannah. So, the first thing I want in each person that we're going to look at three individuals, two from the Old Testament and one from New Testament today. Hannah had a situation in her life. Now, in Old Testament times, folks was like married to a lot of people, and it was okay. That's Old Testament times. It ain't cool now. It really wasn't cool then. But you know, folks was, you know, less than hot. Okay? Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, here's the problem that Hannah had. Her husband's name was Elkanah. And he had two wives. Y'all reading it just like me. Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah didn't. Now, customary in those traditions, being a woman meant not only were you married, you had babies. Lots and lots of babies. Because that was supposed to show the strength of your womanhood. and give legacy for your husband. Nowadays, the more children, the more problems, the more bills, the more issues, the more ER visits. It's a little different. But Hannah loved her husband, and she longed to be a mother. And Elkanah, what they would do is, now these are church-going folks. And Elkanah loved his wife, both of his wives, but it said that he had a special love for him. And he would give her portions, you know, as he's supposed to do to the families and let them know. But because she didn't have children, you know, instead of her getting a ribeye, she might have got a flank steak. Just giving an example, right? Because she didn't get a big portion. She ain't going to get the big piece of chicken because you ain't got a whole bunch of kids. You know, you don't have any. So it was a tarnishing thing. And, you know, he would be like, why are you crying? What's going on? I'm just going to summarize it. Y'all read it. 1 Samuel chapter 1 on your own. I just got to go through this. And even though he loved Hannah and he gave her the portion, she was, the scripture says, that Peninnah taunted her. Sometimes we have a situation in our life and we have people who taunt us about the situation. You might have an enemy. You might have a foe. You might have an inner me. It could be that voice on the inside of your head taunting you. It could be that auspicious voice that you didn't even know. And it's wearing you out. And she was burdened and she was crying and she was tearful. And she wailed out, but she knew she had a problem. And only who the person that she could talk to was the Lord. She didn't get on Facebook. Didn't get on Facebook and Instagram and post her problems. She took her problems to the Lord in prayer. So not only do we have enemies that can taunt us and cause us to fall flat on our face, but it also can cause us to be emotionally depressed. As believers, we have to understand that depression is real.
Yes.
The enemy has a way of speaking to us and making us forget who we are in Jesus Christ. But as long as we have Jesus on our side, we'll be all right.
So she
wept bitterly. So if I go down, and I'm just going to kind of go through these verses here. But for the sake of, I keep want to call out to you all. Y'all read it, okay? And as she was crying, her husband asked her, why are you not eating? Why are you so down? Why are you depressed? What's going on? You know I love you, girl. It's all right. We can go on vacations. I don't need no babysitter. Why are you tripping? She probably said, honey, you don't get it. And sometimes the people closest to you, they don't get your need because they feel that you should be good. You have this, you have that. But when you have a longing in your heart, can't nobody feel it but God.
Yeah.
You don't expect everybody to bear your burden and your pain because everybody ain't gonna understand. Okay. So not only did he not understand, it was now time for her to, and the family to go to prayer. So they go to pray. Eli is the priest at the time. Hannah is praying so hard. And have you ever been at the time in your life when you're praying and asking God and you don't care how you look when you're praying? I mean, you could be I'm at home by myself, so I'm laid out on that mattress and I'm crying. There's times where I'm crying so hard, I can't even get my words out. But because I know the Spirit of God makes intercession for me, that when I don't know what to pray for, He knows what I need.
Yeah.
And He talks to the Father on my behalf.
Okay. Yeah.
So what is interesting, that after the sacrificial meal at Shiloh, she went over to pray. She's praying in front of the stairs. And the way I saw this was that she was probably like kneeled down real low. And she might have been stretched out and laid there. And as she's praying, Eli, the pastor, the priest, right? He's just going over like, her lips is moving. I don't hear nothing. She been drinking. I tell you, these ladies around here, they get too much communion wine. That's what it is. We're going to have 2-drink minimum. So it was become an issue. And Eli goes to, because sometimes, even though we have a great pastor, sometimes your pastor won't understand your need.
Yeah.
And when you and you have to understand that even while folks is looking at you crazy because they don't understand why you praise God the way you do, they don't understand why you worship God the way you do, because they don't know the hell and high water you done went through to get where you are today.
Amen.
Can't nobody justify my worship. Amen. You ain't lived my life. You ain't walked in my shoes.
Amen.
When the enemy came to eat of my flesh, he stumbled and failed. The Lord did that. So I don't need you to tell me to quiet down. I got a need that I must talk to the Lord about. Okay, so she said, when in her prayer, she's praying and she says, "Oh Lord of heaven's armies." She knew who God was, is, and forever will be.
Yes.
And she recognized that she had a relationship with him. And she made a vow to the Lord in prayer. And her prayer says, "If you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son."
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say, "Give me 10 of them. I want 11." She didn't. "I just want one. Give me one son. Then I will give him back to you and he will be yours his entire lifetime." In fact, as a sign of this, I'm not even going to let Brother Man cut his hair. Put a Nazarite vow on. So the Lord, now mind you, she's praying to the Lord. Eli's looking like something's going on, but she didn't mind. So as Eli saw her praying, and he had already made a judgment in her, in his mind, he told her to throw all the liquor away. Eli was a trip, you know. He was like, "You know, something wrong with you." So she said, "No," and she got up to him. She said, "Oh, no, so no, sir." Because when you're confident in who you're talking to, you don't mind answering a hater. You just confused. "No, no, brother, I ain't been drinking. I have a need that's before the Lord, and I'm asking him to do it." And him being a man of God, spiritually in tune now, because in the beginning he was in his flesh, judging. But when the Lord got a hold of him, he said, "Okay, go back your way. You will have your son. The prayer's been answered." You know, and all she had to do, for those younger don't know what happened, they just went back home and then her and Elkanah had a baby. Okay, good. All right, cool. All right. Just in case nobody knows how that works. So he says to her, I think it's around verse 18, that he says, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your request you have asked him." And one of the things I love about that is if you continue to read on, not only did she dedicate, not only did she have Samuel shortly after that, she dedicated him to the Lord and he served God all his life up until his death. But she had more children. If you keep reading, God is he's a prayer answering God.
Yes, yes.
And you can ask him for one thing, and he'll give you more than what you ask for.
Yes.
You can ask him, "God, I want you to save my son." And he not only saved your son, but saved your daughter-in-law, your nieces, your grandnieces, your grandchildren. The way God is, he's more than enough.
Yes. Yes.
So in case Hannah doesn't convince you to pray persistently, let's look at Daniel. Now, Daniel, I'm not going to take you all through Daniel's life, but if you read the book of Daniel, it's great reading. Because in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, it says that God gave those four young men. Now, here's the deal. Let me go back. Daniel and we all know the three Hebrew boys. The people of God got put into captivity because of their disobedience.
Yes.
There was a revolving door of foolishness that we as people like to go in. But God, who said, "You know what? You need a timeout. I'm going to put you in timeout. I'm going to have the Assyrians and Babylonians take you into captivity. And you're going to suffer some things for a while, but you're going to be all right because I am still the Lord God who delivers you. You are still my people, but I got to put you in timeout." How many know that Mama and Papa every now and then got to smack your hand?
Right.
Send you to the woodshed, tight, you know, tap your legs a little bit. But the Bible says he chastens those who he loves, right? Okay. So a couple things. The problem that was in this situation, not only was God's people being put in captivity, But Daniel wanted to understand some things. Daniel wanted to, you know, I read Isaiah. I know that we're here in that captivity. And I heard this, but God, I want to know what you have to say for us in this time, in this season of life. So when you look in Daniel 1, verse 17, God gave these four young men unusual aptitude, talking about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. What I thought was interesting, King Nebuchadnezzar, when he had the people in Babylon, he wanted the smartest folks in his captivity. He said, if I'm going to raid this land and take these people, I want to go ahead and have some smart folks, some good-looking folks, some folks who can, you know, talk eloquently to me. And he got these four men, and the scripture says, and God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret meanings, visions, and dreams.
Wow.
So Daniel, if you read Daniel chapter 6, you'll know that not only was Daniel a man of God, but he had already a developed prayer life. Because not only was Daniel working in captivity, but there was times where King Nebuchadnezzar had so many issues and dreams that he couldn't interpret, and the folks came. I know a Hebrew slave, and he can interpret them dreams. Go and talk to him. So sure enough, Daniel made his way, but Daniel had a prayer life. So much so that when the edict came out that nobody is supposed to bow, nobody's supposed to bow to another god but to King Nebuchadnezzar, if you did it, I'm going to throw you in the lion's den. Daniel still did. He, and the scripture says, he went up to his room, opened up the window, looked toward Jerusalem, and prayed.
Amen.
And folks thought that, I know he did not just do that. Oh, I'm telling you. And he went in the lion's den, and what's so crazy, and this was actually, I want to say that was King Darius that had that in it. Because King Darius said, oh, the God of heaven, please, oh, Daniel, I hope he rescued you. He said, yeah, the Lord answered, and he closed the lion's mouth. I'm still here. He had a relationship, so much so that after the lion's den, so his friends and went through the fiery furnace and came out unharmed. He then went through all the situation in the lion's den, but he still prayed, and it's good to have praying friends. Daniel was a young person, so don't let age fool you. You don't have to be old to serve the Lord. You can be right proper in your 18s, 19s, 20s, and 21s, and so on and so forth, 5, 6, 7, and above. If you know who God is, you can serve him. Okay, wrapping it up. Daniel 7 through 10, he's praying because he's having these visions and dreams, and he wants understanding. And what's interesting is that every time he prayed and he called out to the Lord, he addressed God and he addressed the sin that was correct in the people. It's important that when we pray and we talk to God, that we don't act like we did everything right. Oh, Father God, you know, I just want to thank you for being so great and awesome. You know, God, I thank you that I never did anything wrong. Everything's great. Just some people are kind of mad at me because I think that possibly I might have stole. You better confess your sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, yes, he is faithful,
yes,
and just to not only forgive us and but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
We just got to tell the truth. So he prayed and he kept on praying and he didn't get an answer. And what I love about Daniel, he didn't stop praying. Because he said, I have this dream, this big, I need an understanding of it. And then in chapter 10, verse 20, Daniel actually goes down and he says, he actually says to him, the angel of the Lord comes to him, and actually not 20, verse 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. As he was praying, an angel of the Lord appeared to Daniel. And the scripture says, and I have it on the board here, just then a hand touched me and lifted me. Now, I'm still trembling because Daniel's like, look, I'm tripping right now. What is happening? Shaking in his boots, as some people would say. And the angel said, Daniel, you are very precious to God.
All right, right there.
So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, got my bearings straight. Then he said, Daniel, don't be afraid. Since the first day you prayed and sought for an understanding and you humbled yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven.
Right.
From the first time. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's back up because maybe somebody didn't get it. The angel says to him, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Let's just substitute, because y'all know I'm a teacher, a corporate teacher by trade. Insert your name here, everybody.
All right, Kermit.
You are very precious to God.
Yes,
Cheriel, you are very precious to God.
Amen.
Roxy, you are very precious to God. Camille, you are very precious to God. When you know that who you are matters to Him,
hallelujah.
Yes.
There are some things in our life that sometimes we don't feel it. Nobody gets us. Nobody understands us. Nobody loves us. No, I mean, it's a bad situation, but we are precious to God.
Yes.
And the moment that you prayed, there was a word went out in heaven and it was answered. But what's interesting in this, he says, for 21 days I was held up in the heavens. The enemy does not want you to be blessed. FYI. When that car accident happened to you, Janet, he was hoping it would take you out. But the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him.
Yes.
So he got to come with something else. When that sickness got in your body, you thought it was going to be your last. Have we not been praying for Carolina?
Yes.
But God is a healer. Shot all he wants. But he is a defeated foe.
Yes.
And what's great about Gabriel as he's talking to Daniel, he says, Michael, one of the archangels, came and helped me out.
Yes.
He took over the issue so I can come to you and give you some consolation.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, God sends an angel.
Yes.
And he says, hey, I know you've been hurt in this situation, but know that you're precious to God.
Yes.
He heard you when you was praying, and he's going to answer. Matter of fact, here's your answer here. But it's by faith that we hold on to it.
Amen.
So those are our two snapshots. Does everybody understand the power of persistent prayer?
Yes.
What do you think would have happened if Daniel stopped praying?
All right.
How many people do you think would have been affected if he didn't? Lions were ate them up.
That's right.
Sometimes when we say, you know, I ain't gonna pray about this no more. I'm just gonna go sit over here and take a time out. And God said, if you keep on praying, the old song used to say, saints don't stop praying.
Yes.
For the Lord is not.
Yes.
Saints don't stop praying because He'll hear your cry.
Amen.
His word is, every word is, His promise are true. His word is that His promise are true. Just don't stop praying. He'll answer you.
Yes. Right.
So last people that I would like for us to look at is in Matthew 21, because Jesus told us that we should pray. Jesus says in Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22, then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do all things like this and much more.
Yes.
He's saying that to us today.
Yes.
So we read about Hannah. We read about Daniel. But Jesus saying, right now, Mary, if I tell you the truth, if you don't doubt when you pray,
yes,
you can have these things and much more. You can even say to that mountain in your life, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Because you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. So much so that Jesus tells us to continue to pray. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus says, didn't I tell you, you will see God's glory if you believe?
Yes.
Right.
He says to the people, look, I know Lazarus is dead, but I am the resurrection.
Yes.
So your situation it don't have to be dead. I can make it come alive again.
Right.
Just because the doctor said it's there was no hope. I am the physician in the physician and operating room. Who do you think I am? So what they did was they rolled the stone away. They said, oh, you know, he is Jesus. People hearing that they never heard before, people seeing that they never seen before, people walking, they never, look, move the stone. Just go on and move it. But before Jesus works this miracle, he says to the Father, Father, thank you for hearing me.
Yes.
Can we just stop and tell God, thank you for hearing me? Yes. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to you.
Yes.
And God, I know you hear me.
Yes.
You always hear me.
Yes.
You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of those who don't believe.
Yes.
There's people that we might fellowship with even in this building that don't believe prayer works because they don't know the power of persistent prayer yet. They feel that praying is like a slot machine. If you pull it once, you should hit the jackpot. If not, you pull your money out and you move to another table. For those that might know about gambling, I don't know. I heard about it. See the coffee show. But if you really think about it, you don't, for those who are persistent in the gambling scenario, you don't stop playing because you didn't hit that day. You keep coming back. Because I'm always getting primed out. That's what he was saying. Oh, it's warming up to me. I feel that thing. Yeah. And we can do that in a secular situation. What more for Jesus Christ? Who not only said, you know what? I hear that there's a disconnect down there on this earth that we created. And sin has separated us of blackness. And John said, I saw a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That nobody could go for him. Nobody could break the seven seals and lose him. But it was Jesus Christ and his blood that brought us back into fellowship. So if we know the story, why don't we talk to him regularly?
Amen.
Why don't we continue to pray? The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, in one translation, it says, never stop praying.
Amen.
I asked a question before, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want the blessings of God? How bad do you want your situation to be changed? How bad do you want God to move and lean in your direction? We sing all these songs, but do we mean it? Are they just lyrics, or are they words of meditation from our heart? 2 Chronicles 7:14, we all know this one, right? If my people, which are called by my name,
right,
will do what? Humble themselves. And what?
Pray.
And seek my face. And do a turnabout from their wicked ways. Then, he said. So if Solomon said he heard the Lord say that to him in 2 Chronicles 7:14, what about now? Nowhere in scripture will you find, Liliana, that the scripture says, give up. Don't talk to God. Stress out. Trip out, hook and crook and steal. He ain't never gonna say that.
That's right.
But he says, if you trust me,
yes,
if you bring to me your burden,
yeah,
I'll carry it. If you share with me your innermost parts of your heart, I got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
If you trust me and you believe without doubt, what do you mean believe without doubt? If you know that God has given you an ability, you see that thing through. I don't care what kind of adversity, Lord, that you might run into in life. God has a special plan for your life.
Amen.
And if you believe that and don't doubt it, you're going to be all right. Because of the enemy, his design is to distract us and diminish the capacity of thought to believe through faith.
Amen.
But if I just hold on, just a little while longer.
Right.
People already know, the kids, we talk a lot, and so they know I'm still single. Okay, Ann, but I'm still praying for my husband.
Yes.
I believe God.
Yes.
So just because it ain't happened, I'm supposed to say God ain't good? The devil is a lie. He's even better than good.
Yes.
So while he's preparing him, he's preparing me. Because he's preparing us for heaven.
Yes.
And heaven is a place for prepared people.
Amen.
So if we don't know how to down here to get in contact and fellowship with the Most High, what are we looking for in heaven to do?
That's right.
If we don't want to cry out holy down here, we ain't going to have no fun in heaven. Because that's what they say. The angels cry, holy, 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 to the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Yes.
We have to know that there's power and persistence in prayer.
Amen.
Any praying folks in the house today?
Yeah.
I say any praying folks in the house today?
Yeah.
Have you been praying for a long time?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's power in prayer.
Yes.
God is all power all by himself.
Yes.
Psalm 62 and 11 say, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God.
Yes.
And if we need help, we need to dial into the power that only comes from on high.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
She said, there's no formula for prayer. Just call on the Lord.
Yes.
In the time of trouble, we can call upon him.
Yes.
Over the midnight hour, we can call on him.
Yes.
Sickness and pain in our body, we can call on the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And he hears and answers prayer. We may not have an angel to show up on our door and speak to us and communicate us like Daniel had. And say, okay, yeah, here's what's in. But you know, but thank God we're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We're in the dispensation where the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and speaks to our mind.
Yes.
He dwells within us.
Hallelujah.
He knows what we're going through. Thank you, Lord. Anybody going through anything? Anybody need help? Does anybody in the house need help?
Yes.
Does anybody in the house need God to move on your behalf in the situation that you're dealing with?
Yes.
I just want to make it clear what I'm saying. If you're in the house and you believe in the power of persistent prayer, and you believe that God can answer your prayer, and you're standing in the need of prayer right now, I just want to hear you say, God help me.
God help me.
Oh, hallelujah. And if you said, God help me, please stand on your feet. Thank you, Lord, because I believe in the power of persistent prayer.
Yes.
Some of us got stuff going on in our life that don't nobody know but us and God.
Hallelujah.
Some of us are feeling like it's never going to work out. It's not going to get any better. This is my lot. The devil is a lie.
Yes.
God hears and he answers prayer.
Yes.
God is working on some of us. He's changing our hearts. He's changing our minds.
Yes.
We're not where we were a year ago.
Yes.
We may not be where we want to be, but we're a long way from where we came from.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know.
Yes.
What a mighty God.
What a mighty God.
Thank you, God.
Thank
if you need healing in your life,
yes.
Say, God, help me.
Help me.
You need deliverance in your life, say, God, help me.
Help me.
You need to learn how to forgive, say, God, help me. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You've been hurt, you've been wounded in the house of a friend. Somebody that's close to you to turn their back on you, say, help me, God.
Help me, God.
Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we're calling on that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, we are your people that stand. It's not my mother, it's not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. God, I need a touch from you. God, I need help from you. God, I need healing from you. God, I need peace from you. Oh God, stretch out your hand. Help us today, Lord. Move in our hearts and in our mind. Move in our homes, Lord. Help us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, we love you. We bless you. We just want to be in your will, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be who you want us to be, Lord. Take us to another level in the name of Jesus. God, give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need, Lord, to go through this perilous time that we're living in. Give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. And God, we thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for being in our right minds. We thank you for a mind to come into the house of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for food on our table. We thank you, God, for a head, a shelter over our head. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of knowing who Jesus is. We thank you, Lord, that our names are written down in heaven. Thank you, Father. So, Father, I pray for all the saints of God, hear that everywhere, but us here in this room today, that you would meet every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, someone need peace in their home. Oh God, there's some relationships that are strained. But God, you are the one who put broken things back together. God, teach us to let the love flow. Teach us, Lord, how to just be nice, because it's nice to be nice. And if we do what you say, everything will be all right. Help us, Lord. So, Father, we bless you and we thank you. Pray for every name on the roll on today. Stretch out your hand. Touch here, there, and everywhere. Again, we continue to pray for Ralph in Carolina. God, we know you're working out something special in their lives. God, you're going to give her a testimony. You're going to give her a word, a message for your people. And God, we're trusting and we're believing you, Lord. So, Father, we just ask you to have your way. Bless us as we prepare our hearts to leave this place, but not your presence, God. Bless the food that's been so graciously prepared for us on today. God, bless the offering boxes on the wall. God, I pray for those that are kind of on the outside still looking. Haven't made that total commitment to you, Lord Jesus. May not really even understand what it all means. But God, I pray that you would touch their hearts and their minds. Speak to them like only you can. Let them know that it's not a religion. It's not a format. But it's a relationship with the God of the universe. And his name is Jesus. So Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name, and all the saints of God said amen.
Amen. Amen.